All right, let's get started here. All right, I guess I shut that door. Maybe that'll eliminate some of the background noise.
I'll get it.
Okay, hey. You can't go nowhere now, Jim. You're locked in. All right. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you had a good, restful night, and definitely glad you're here. Pastor Tim, I think, is away. Ron Schrenke was going to lead this morning, and then Ron sent me a message saying, hey, I got to prepare for music this morning. He said, would you mind leading the group? I looked for someone else to pass it to, and long story short, here I am.
Hey!
No, I mean, I'm being, I'm kidding here. Let me put it that way. Lesson here, this video, I watched it, I think about four or five times, just to kind of prepare, but also I was really encouraged by it. And I hope you will be this morning also. As I look through here, let's go ahead, and I think this is how we've been doing it here. Let's read the Shema. Okay, so I won't ask you to read it in Hebrew.
Thank you.
Because I've never been one to ask someone to do something that I could not do myself or do very well myself, and so I'm not that adept at Hebrew. I love to hear the language. But let's read it in English, and let's go ahead and do it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Yeah. Let me ask, if you turn in your books, the lesson today, the episode is called The Stone. And then we have, I think it's on 62, an introduction. And I was looking at this, and I'll give you all a chance to get here. I know sometimes it takes me a minute to flip through to find the page. In the first couple paragraphs, the writer talks about great people of faith. He talks about Moses. He talks about people such as William Wilberforce, Corrie ten Boom, Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, and he says that they were faithful against impossible odds. Think Billy Graham, Elizabeth Elliot, John Child, the list goes on. And he talks about Moses. You know, it's easy to look at Moses and say, oh yeah, what a disciple he was. And we look at the gifts that God has given these other folks here, and you know, they're an example. We can look at them at all. I like the middle paragraph here. Kind of go down about 1, 2, 3, 4. So what if you're not Moses? Is there anyone here named Moses? Okay, I want to make sure of that. Okay. What if you're a software engineer from Ohio? Or you drive a garbage truck in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma? What if you're a dentist, a college student, a janitor, a stay-at-home parent? What does it mean to be a disciple when you think your life looks kind of ordinary? Okay? I've always considered myself an ordinary guy who believes in an extraordinary God. That's what I've always looked at myself as. And so he talks about, you know, on the study, we looked at how to approach the Bible. We have formed a toolkit of ways to consider the context. I know Pastor Tim always talks about context, 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 and to begin understanding how the original writers and readers would have experienced it. We've also talked about how the Bible is one story, an idea we will continue to develop through the study. And then he goes on to say this, it's time to consider what to do with all this information. What do we do with it? Okay. What's the next step? How does an ordinary person like you or me become the disciple of such an extraordinary God? And then he says, well, let's get into the material and discuss. We've got kind of an opening question here. Who are your heroes of the faith? You know, there's anyone that's, yeah.
Billy Graham grew up with Billy Graham. I was a little guy.
Billy Graham?
Yep.
Yeah. I can remember as a little guy, probably 5-6 years old, you know, I didn't grow up going to church or anything. My mom, though, she believed in Jesus, and she would grab me and put me in a sofa or something on the couch at home. And when they had the old Billy Graham Crusades on, every couple of months or something, you know, they have a, you know, back when network TV, they would show things like that. And she set me down. She says, "You need to listen to what he has to say."
Another good,
you know,
good one is Rex Humbard from England.
Yeah.
He was very, very good.
I look at maybe someone from the Bible. Okay.
I like the woman who thought that had bleeding disease, and she could just touch his cloak, she'd be healed. That.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. I've always liked Peter.
Who? Oh, Peter.
Because. You know, I kind of consider, you know, I kind of look at him like God's kind of, I'm kind of like that sometimes, you know. Yeah, he's emotional. Let's do this, and then, whoa, wait a second, I'm back away here now, you know. He jumps in and he realizes, oh, well, I've jumped into this, maybe I shouldn't have, you know. But Peter also, as you see how God worked, and how a guy who denied Jesus, even knowing him, a few weeks later was standing up and, well, I thought, give one of the best sermons ever as he's talking, you know, about Jesus, you know. So, yeah. And if you look at the Bible, we see time and time again, God uses people ordinary. They're doing ordinary things, okay, but he uses them. Okay. Anyone else? You got some
Matthew.
Of you? Who's that?
Matthew, the person that everyone hated, and there's no way anyone.
Yeah.
That was a tax collector, the evil one, could do good, and there he was.
There he was, and Jesus said, "Follow
I'll
me."
Take
you know, and it wasn't. You know, I look at it, and I never thought, "Okay, he's not. Wasn't asking you. You come on," and you know, and Matthew's like, "Okay. I'm going, you know, I'm going." And this way he calls all of us, you know, come on, you know, be part of my plan, be part of my story. And you're going to hear the video here where he's talking about, let's be part of God's story. I want to begin by reading, and then we'll go to the video. And I'll read a portion of scripture that's going to tie in with the lesson this morning. And who knows, I may be able to find it here. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 38 to 47. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. You know, when I read that ESV version here, I thought, coat of mail? Well, it's a heavy protective armor made of overlapping metal plates or scales. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may, and you're going to hear this word in the video, Yadeh, that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. I want you to consider this question as I play the video, and we're going to pray here. What is your stone? Consider that, and he'll talk more about that. It got me thinking about, wow, I never thought things in this way, but as I went through this series, there's a lot of things I never thought.
Not gallstones or anything like that.
No, I'm not talking about gallstones. Or
kidney stones.
Kidney stones. But let's pray, and then we'll watch the video. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. And thank you for this day, your day. And Father, thank you for getting us through another week. Father, I'm sure we've all had to go through stuff this week. You know, things that were really good. Maybe some things that weren't so good. Father, I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful for Jesus, and I'm thankful for our church family here. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we watch this video, that we can grow together. Father, we can be better equipped to serve you. So Father, just please take this time now and use it for your glory and for the edification of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Nate said, Randy, just press the button. So we'll see what happens.
I hope I press the right button. You know, you can put
the right button.
The right button.
That
is it right there.
You're going to show you how to do it.
Okay, he said, if that doesn't work, go to the title.
That didn't work.
Okay, was it this one?
Yeah, it's...
It's this one, isn't it?
I think it's...
It is this one?
I'll try it and see.
I think this is the
right one. Push it in the middle.
I may have to go back and get it.
I don't know. I
know.
I'm in complete sympathy.
That's
I can't remember. I've had to look at it.
I may have to go get him.
Oh, point it at this thing.
Maybe that is the thing here. Thank you.
Because the Roku is for the TV, and maybe that's there.
You should be in tech. You have a tech job.
Oh, yeah. No. Me is the one that helps me.
Put it in the box, Andy.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know if this is the right one. No. It is.
Sometimes we tend to define our faith as having this knowledge about what's true of God and of me.
Is that loud enough?
All that is good and true.
No.
But I also remember what one of my Jewish colleagues said. Remember the evil one, first hand, believes the story too. Probably knows it
it's
better
on the
than
side.
Me because he was there.
Let me have a little
There's room. Got to be something more than simply knowing what the story is and believing that it's true.
Thank you.
What is that something more? Have students answer the question, what does God want us to do with a story? Often people would say, God wants me to learn the story, to know the details, to know the names of the characters, to know what happened to people like Abraham and Sarah, what happened to people like David or Moses, what happened to people like Ruth and Esther, and God wants me to know those details well. So I should read the story and learn the story. That's good. I don't think that's his primary objective. Others would say, God wants me to believe it. The devil knows the story. He's seen it all. He's heard it all. He has a view of it that goes way beyond what we've experienced. But that doesn't do him a whole lot of good. So believing the story is important and necessary, but it's not the primary focus that God has, as essential as it is. Others have said, well, we're supposed to be able to show that the story is true. So I get people who want to do archaeology or want me to give archaeology that proves the Bible is true. I believe all the Bible is true, but believing the Bible is a faith act. God doesn't say, believe what you can prove. God says, believe what I've told you. You can't prove in every case the Bible is true. So there's got to be more. Now, my Jewish friends will say, of course. There's a Hebrew word. Yada. Yada. It's generally translated to know. Turn to Genesis 4, verse 1. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. There you see that word, yada. And Adam, yada, translated knew. But in English, to know means to be introduced. So it wasn't that Adam and Eve met. They shook hands. Adam said, I'm Adam. And Eve said, and my name is Eve. Oh, my word, I think I'm pregnant. It isn't that kind of knowing. Yada means to know experientially. There is no more intimate experience, physically at least, and I think emotionally and spiritually in many ways too, that two human beings can have than to be involved sexually. So Adam really knew Eve. Eve really knew Adam experientially. Not just about each other or knew their names. They experienced each other in a way that is as intimate as anything God has created. And the result of that intimate knowing was the birth of a child. That's yada. In other words, God wants us to experience the story intimately. Or better, if a better way to say it, God wants us to be in the story. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how important what you think you do is. What matters is, are you in God's story? Because if you're a machinist in God's story, or you a radiologist in God's story, or you're a speech pathologist in God's story, or you're a high school teacher in God's story, if you're in God's story, what you do has eternal consequences. I say to kids 100 times a semester, God doesn't ask you to change your college major. What he's asking you to do is to do it passionately like Jesus would do. Watch as you travel around Israel. You're going to bump into shepherds. A lot of them will be young. Not all of them, but a lot of them will be young. Boys and girls. Watch when they get a flock out on one of these desert hillsides and the flock is grazing. What they do with their free time. Much of the time, they will sit throwing stones. Sometimes for necessity, there were hyenas and leopards and bears. Today, wolves and foxes that the sheep have to be protected from. So when David came down to Goliath, God didn't ask him, or he didn't choose to use a weapon. Wasn't trained in it. David said, I'm going to do what shepherds do. And he took that stone, and he did what shepherds do again and again and again. He slung it. So David, this kid thought he was becoming an incredible shepherd. And God's thinking, really? I want a kid who can throw stones with unbelievable accuracy because I need you to be part of my story. So the kid stands in front of the biggest guy anybody had ever seen, Shaquille O'Neal. And the kid thinks, huh, my job is to fight this guy. And God's thinking, really? It's so much bigger than that. And somehow this 12-year-old shepherd catches it, because as he takes out his sling, he says to Shaquille, I'm going to do this that the world may yada the power of God. And he catches that throwing a stone, which every shepherd does about 8 hours a day, mostly girls, by the way, can be a way of putting God on display. He doesn't throw it because he's mad at Goliath only. He doesn't throw it because he wants to show how good he is. He throws it because he catches them, and he's part of God's story. See, if you're in that story, your life really matters. You have to become a sentence, a word, maybe just a punctuation mark in his story. And that means that your story, as trivial as it seems, even the little tiny stuff, is eternally important. It's part of something really big. The biggest thing that has happened since creation. People, this is huge. Because you just have to throw your stone. You can't throw mine. I can't throw yours. So what's your stone? We were visiting the story of David and Goliath, and there are all these stones in the brook. I have one that I've had with me for a lot of years. And this friend of mine was describing the setting of that story, and he made the point, each of us are given stones to throw. They're our life's occupations, they're the things we're talented at doing, or things we're interested in, everything from being a father or a mother to being a volunteer somewhere, to being a doctor, to being a film producer. We're given stones. What struck me is that before he slung it, David said to Goliath, I'm going to do such and such with this stone, that the world may know. Yada, experience God. In other words, we don't throw our stone because then we're successful, necessarily. We might be. We don't throw our stone because it earns us a good income. Hopefully it will. We throw our stone as our part of the partnership that the world may know what he's like. God wants his people not simply to believe the story is true, not simply to want to pass the story on to others. God wants his people to think of themselves as part of the story. So I hope they will bury me with this stone someday, and that people will say, he threw his stone that the world may know.
Brandon, with this here, talking about throwing a stone to defend the block or whatever, what about the verse in the Bible that says, he who is without sin cast the first stone?
Well, I think that's different. What's we keep talking about? Context.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, you can't criticize someone. You got sin in your life, and you know you sin. If it's the same for greater than that person, you're being a hypocrite.
Right.
But what he's talking about is what God has given you, your abilities, your talents, whatever you are in life, you can use that. You can use your stone to cast that people may know him, that they may experience him. So many times, even children's ministry, we say a lot of times, like what? We may be the only Bible that person, that young youngster, gets to hear.
Yeah.
They get to see God work through us. Okay. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Understand what you're talking about. I'm not saying go out and get stones now and start casting. I'm not saying that.
What Jesus was saying in that instance with the woman is throw your accusations, but you can't because you have your own things that you're accusing of. Yeah, you should be accused of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were listening, Melinda.
Yes, I was.
You were listening. All right. So first impressions of the video, you know, as you watched that, anything that kind of struck you? All right. I thought it was pretty cool. Certain things, you know, some of the things that he said, I was really appreciative of. See if I got some notes here. I had the opportunity to look at it a few times here. And let's see here, something else that I took. Some of the things that he said, it kind of like, whoa, kind of hit me pretty good. God wants us to know his story and to believe his story. He also wants to be part of his story. You know. Not that the Word of God is not complete, but a friend of mine, he used to say this, you know, and I don't think he meant it in a, you know, a bad way, but he said he looked at the book of Acts, he said, the story's still continuing. He said, 2,000 years later, you know, about the church and this, the formation and what they were doing and Paul's travels, and he said, it's still going on, you know. Another thing, God does not want us to believe what we can prove. He wants us to believe what he has told us. That stuck with me there, okay? Because that's faith, okay? Hebrews talks about without faith, what it is impossible to please him, okay? For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, God wants us to be part of his story. He wants people around us to yada him, to know him, to experience him. We can be part of God's story if we're willing to what? Throw our stone. If we're willing to do that. Another thing he said that I'm like, he's really nailed it here, I thought. If you are in God's story, your life really, really matters. Some of the times, you know, we think, okay, we're just leaving ordinary lives and everything, but if we're casting our stones, if we're living lives that are pointing people to Jesus, that are helping them come to know him, that are helping them to experience God through us, then our life really, really does matter. Okay, if you turn in your book there is some discussion questions. And it says, watch the video. I guess this is page 63 here. Let's start there. So yada means to know. Okay. But also to know, he said, use the word, and I can't say the word, we're good, experientially, you know. He gave the, of course, the scripture about David, but also about Adam and Eve, though. I thought it was kind of cool the way he tied it together. But yada means to know.
I like it when he said, so the world will know what God is like.
Yeah.
John Miller gave a Sunday school class a book on 100 names for God, the provider and the savior and all this. And I think it's very interesting to know what God is like, because when you read this book and it's like, you know, and it makes you want to know it more. So it's such a good book, and for you to realize what God is really like, because, oh yeah, we know God and we know he answers prayer. But when you read this, it just, you really know him. It's a good way.
Yeah.
So
you know him in that intimate way, mm-hmm. in that personal way. Yeah. You know, and we mentioned the word, you know, that in fact, you know, God is calling us to be partners with him. Okay, and telling his story. You know, and I think that's absolutely true here. Let's go on to the video discussion questions here on page 64. When have you experienced the feeling of being in God's story in your life? It may have been a big moment, the time when you watched God show up powerfully in a time of ministry. It might have been a more everyday experience, sensing God's presence over coffee with a friend or in a conversation with a coworker. Both are profound. Describe the experience that comes to mind, to the group. Is there anything that when you think of when have you experienced the feeling of being God's story in your own life?
Vietnam.
Okay.
Put it right down to me. And I prayed and I had a little Bible I carried. I lost that. And man, I was lost then. Okay. But a buddy of mine said, God, no. You got it here. You read it enough times, you ought to have it here.
And yeah.
I forgot that. You know.
I think
you know, sometimes pastor will give a sermon that kind of gets home, gets what you feel and stuff. When I was about 16 years old, I was in a church, and the pastor was giving a sermon, and all of a sudden I felt a hand touch my shoulder, and it was just as warm as it could be. At first I thought it was one of the elderly ladies behind me, and I looked over my shoulder. I couldn't see nobody. But I could feel that hand on my shoulder.
Okay. All right. Before I, you know, got into doing Awana and Upward Baseball and all the other things here with children and everything, Pastor Hobart, and y'all probably know him, he brings in Vivian every week. Well, he was my pastor for many years here. And so we had a school close to the church, a school that our children went to, Lowe's School. It no longer exists. It's not just a big empty field. Okay, they tore it down a long time ago. But we were able to get in and have a good news club there after school. And so, Pastor Tad, he said, hey, could you come along with me and, you can be part of it? And I said, yeah, and he goes, oh, you can teach the lesson. And I looked at him and I thought, what are you talking about? You're kidding, right? This is a joke, right? No. Now, here's the thing. Ordinary guy, not a whole lot of education as far as, the Bible or anything. I'm just like, huh, man, I don't know. But I'm willing to go. So CEF, okay, a wonderful organization, had these big books that you would have to hold on your lap and you could tell the story to the kids. And it had these beautiful, gorgeous illustrations and everything. I don't remember what the story was. I read it verbatim. Scared to death. I'm just reading it verbatim, what it says. So at the end, it was there was an invitation. If any of you would like to come up and accept Jesus as your Savior, you can come on up. And I'm sitting there. Seven kids got up and come up front. It wasn't because Randy Adams was a great speaker. It was because God moved. That was it. So he showed me something then. He proved something to me. You show up, you have prepared to the best of your ability and everything. Throw your stone, per se, now I'm looking at this, and watch me work. That's all I needed. Okay? So that was something that I remembered. And, as I drive by it sometimes, I look over this school and I thought, okay, it's an empty field there, but many, many years ago, it was a harvest field. That's why I look at it. I remember that. And so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff there. But anyone else got something you want to share? When was the time that God showed up for you or let you know that you were part of his story?
Ever since I've been young, I've had a thing about children and old people.
Yeah.
And I've taught Sunday school, and I felt like God was calling me to do that. And then, different places, but for like 25 years at the one place. But I also, God was calling me to be a missionary. And I was like, no, I couldn't do that, And yet I just really felt, and then I had these people at our church were going to Africa, and I felt like I was only like 19 then, I think, 19, maybe 20. But the minister's wife at that time talked me out of it. But I still felt, like I let down, So I didn't go. Something came out, and they didn't go because there was a problem or something. But anyway, I did. We scheduled revivals, and I met this one girl that worked at a mission in Florida, and I think I was, well, again, 19 or 20. I think I was in the 70s, so I might have almost been 20. But anyway, so I went down. I called the lady down there. They were just Church of God. It wasn't Pentecostal, just Church of God. But anyway, so I went down and they wanted me to stay, but I had a job. I was by myself, and I had a good job at AT&T, and I'm glad I didn't, but I went down every year, and sometimes for a month, and was a teacher there, you know, and everything. And I learned a lot from that, and I really enjoyed it so much, because I loved working with the children. And then I went, and I'm thinking, I don't know, 20 years at least, I would go up and down on my vacations. And then I got, my manager at work would give me, they had like what they call flex time. You could take time off, but you're not paid.
Okay.
And I had taken a month off. Because this lady down there that taught kindergarten had a stroke. So I went down and stayed a month there. And different times, you know, when I had vacation, I'd go down. And that's probably one of the greatest experiences that I felt like I've had. I really enjoyed Awana. I never heard of Awana until I came here. And, you know, then I really got into it. And I really enjoyed that, you know, working with the children too. So, and I don't know, I've always had a passion for old people as well. And I just, like, I want to take care of them. Because I was young, I felt like I took care of my grandpa.
Right.
When since I was like 6 years old, and he was my mom didn't really, I don't know what you'd say, with us that much, but my grandpa was the love of my life, and he loved me. He died when I was almost 14, but I can remember asking my aunt, I said, well, how come, you know, they come over and they took my brother, he's like 4.5 years older, home with them, and I would be home with grandpa, because my mom worked. And I said, well, how come you never took me home with you? And she said, well, you said you had to stay home and take care of your grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I don't regret that at all and everything. My grandpa was getting, like, dementia.
Well, I think God's given you that heart, Sandy, for kids and for older people. Okay? I mean, that's who He's made you to be. And so I think when you look at ourselves, you know, God's made us all different. You know, we got different abilities, different talents, you know, with different occupations, you know, with different circumstances, where you go into war or something, or, you know, and He wants us to be part of His story where we're at. And so, next question here. The prophet Samuel appointed David as the future king of Israel long before the young shepherd ever faced Goliath, let alone took the throne. How would you expect a God to prepare David for such an important future? How might this frame the way you think about the ordinary types of skills you're developing today?
God's not in a hurry.
No, He's not. No, now, he's doing.
They are, but He's not. That was a long time.
Yeah, you know, you look at the, you know, we think, okay, He's going to use David as, you know, to be the king of Israel, and David's going to do all this stuff and everything, and He used his training as a shepherd boy.
You know. Joseph was used for a long time too.
Yeah, and anyone else here? I wrote this down. God can use you, what you can do, what you like to do, what you're good at, to make himself known wherever you're at. I look at now, Sue and I are in the grandparent stage of our lives here. And so we continually try and point our grandchildren to Jesus continually, you know. It could be something as, you know, ordinary, but it's not, I think, ordinary. We got a granddaughter who turns 4 here this week, who is all over the place. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, she can't stay still. You know, you can't. She just got to go, you know.
Even in her sleep.
She's moving. She's going somewhere. I'm not sure where, but she's moving. But what's interesting is she loved Vacation Bible School. She loved coming to that, and she loved the songs. Well, she loves music, and she loves to sing. She'll be in the back, you know, we're taking her somewhere, and she starts singing. Just singing to herself, you know, she loves to sing, and she loves music. So I look at that, and I'm thinking, okay, she loves to sing, she loves music. What can I do, what can we do to encourage her, point her to Jesus? So this week, you know, I go over and Sue was watching the kids as her daughter-in-law was on the business trip. And so she'd be running along doing what she does back and forth, you know, I'm watching her just go. And then all of a sudden I start singing one of the songs from Vacation Bible School. And I go, hey, Ava, Illumination Station. And then she stops. And she's like, Illumination Station. She's going to, you know, the manners of, you know.
Yeah.
Illumination Station, join the celebration. She's dancing around, Jesus, Jesus, he is the light of the world.
She does the movements and everything.
Yeah, and then she goes on. Okay? But I'm thinking, that might be a way, that might be a good way to get her to come to Jesus just through music. Because she loves music, and so she was like all about, yeah, Papa, play the video on the TV. Oh, no, she's all into it now. She's 4 years old.
About getting her a karaoke machine? Oh, no.
Oh.
Her parents would shoot us.
I'll take that one under advisement. And the next question here. So what's your STEM? I think this is more of an introspective question. You have to look at yourself. What are your skills or passions? What jobs or responsibilities do you find yourself occupying right now? How can you throw these stones as a disciple? So take a look at yourself and how can you throw your stones? I look at my job and everything, and I work with people. There's a couple of believers there, but so many aren't. I'm thinking, what can I do, you know, to make, Lord, you know, to these people? So, yeah, we just have to be, I think, intentional. And God has given us all stones, and what are we going to do with them? You know, I liked the speaker there at the end. He said, I got a stone I've been holding on to, you know, as a reminder. And he said, and it was so cool because he said, you know, I want this stone buried with me so that people, you know, and I think he's thinking of a legacy. What kind of a legacy I'm going to live? But it wasn't about him, though. His legacy wasn't about him. Even though he's done some great things, you know, a great teacher, he's taught college students, he's done this his whole life, and a very educated man. But he said, I want people at the end to say he threw his stone. His goal was to make God known. That's what I want people to know. And I thought, that's what I want people to say about me, not anything more than that. And I think if we look at things, you know, in a correct way, it's if we're living for Jesus and throwing our stone, man, our life really, really matters. I like the way he put the emphasis. Really, really matters. You know, okay, let's see what else.
What do you think about some of the things you learned as a child growing up? You can teach it to other people that have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
I'm female. My dad told me I should have been his son because I've done a lot of work that he done. Raised on a tobacco farm and everything.
Right.
And I was picking up leaves and dropping sticks at 3 years old. And by the time I was 10 years old, I was cutting tobacco, spiking, and putting it in the barn.
Now, did you have any brothers?
I've got one brother. He's 10 years younger than me to the day.
Okay. Okay, so you're going up, Dad said, okay, I need you to be the son I don't have right now, then I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I enjoyed working construction, even with Dennis.
Well, it's like you pass some of those things on to your son, Billy, because I don't know if there's anything he can't do. And if not, he's going to find a way to get it done.
Cedarville College, I helped build a 5-unit building out there.
Okay.
Dayton Dragons Baseball Stadium, I helped build that. Uh-huh. That was a prevailing wage job. Bill liked those paychecks.
You know, I worked for most of my life. Well, let's say the first 25 years of it, I loaded and offloaded airplanes. And in the meantime, I was an Army reservist and everything at the same time and everything. But there was many times on the job that I did get to witness to people in my profession, okay? Okay, and I'd have conversations. One thing I found out was a conversation I had with a gentleman, and he's gone now. I know he's passed on because I was told, and also I read somewhere that he passed away. He was 10 years older than me, and he was a fairly good worker and everything. But he was a guy who said that he was an atheist. He didn't believe anything. And I asked him, one time I just said, you know, well, how'd you come to this? And I said, you never went to church or anything as a kid, or no one ever, never told us about it. Like, oh, I went to church. Yeah, I went to youth group, did all these things. I'm like, what happened? He goes, I went to college, and I found out that everything that I had been told was wrong.
Oh, no.
You know. And so, yeah, and it was really so sad. But anyway, I'm going to get to a part of the story. So I would sit there, you know, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and I would sit there and tell him the verses, and think, I've heard that. So I got to think of, Lord, what can I do? Help me to help him see that you're real, that you're loving, that you're personal and everything. You know what I started doing? And I look at this now. It's not that I knew this back then. I started telling him my story. Mm-hmm. I started telling him how God had worked in my life, how God had brought this wonderful lady to me. And I started telling him about things that had happened in my life and how God would work there, and he brought me through this. Mm-hmm. That made an impression on him. Mm-hmm. He listened to that, not to say that he said, oh, Randy, I'm ready to come to Jesus now. No, but he listened and he smiled because suddenly it was real. Mm-hmm. It was real to him, you know, because he looked at me and said, well, it's real to Randy for some reason. Okay, it was that personal thing. So he talked about be part of God's story. You know, yes, but don't be bashful about telling your story to people and how God has been there for you and how you've experienced his grace and his love in your life. Because people want to hear that.
Because that's real.
That's real.
That really happened.
Okay, because then now suddenly, if you're talking about how God has worked in your life, you know, the scripture's starting to come to maybe to life now. Okay, it's not just a book of information, it's a book of transformation.
I know, I love that.
You know, mm-hmm. And people, they want to see that.
Yeah.
You know, especially in today's world where there's so much just skepticism, cynicism, and whatever type of ism you want to put out there. People are searching. Yeah. They're searching for something permanent. They're searching for something that they can grasp hold to, you know, and so tell them about Jesus here.
I believe that God gave me the knowledge and the strength to help take care of my husband before he passed away.
Yeah.
For 3 years. Yeah. I knew what to do, when to do it.
He equips us to do what we, what he's called us to do. He's not going to leave us out there on the limb.
Nope.
Okay. I've talked enough, I think. Let's end in prayer here. And as go to prayer here, you know, maybe ask yourself this week, you know, what are stones God's given me? And what can I do with them here? And then also as far as this week, it has a recommendation. Ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your time with the scriptures revealing more of his heart and character every time you read. You know, I always love Pastor Tim, you know, when he says this, reread God's word so we can know the God of the word. You know, he says that all the time. I like that. Maybe I'm not saying it quite right, but, you know, that's how we get to know him and experience him. And other ways too, of course. Let's pray. We'll dismiss here. Father in heaven, thank you for this time we could share together. And Father, I'm thankful for, you know, the lesson today. I'm thankful for some insight into just throwing a stone, as David did. And his goal was to make you known, that people could experience you. So Father, help us this week to be on the look, you know, for people that we can talk to, we can pour into. Father, you know, help us and use us. Help us to be, you know, in your story, because it is your story, and you're calling us to be partners in it. Father, as we read your word, please give us insight in it this week. Help us just to meditate on it, and help us to grow in you. In faith. Father, we pray, Lord, for the services to come here, that you'd be glorified. We pray, Lord, for Brother Mark as he brings the word to us. Help us to be receptive so as we go out there, we can tell others about your grace and your goodness and your love. Father, the psalmist, he says, you know, forever shall come to me, you know, shall rejoice and be glad in you. So help us to rejoice in you, and also help us who love your salvation to tell others so that we can tell others how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So, all right, well, thank you.